بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا وإخلاصا وحبا لك كريم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, last lesson we covered the name Allah and its roots from Al-Ilah. And before we jump into the names of Allah that we're going to cover this lesson, I wanted to talk a little bit about the approach and the method that we're going to take when studying the names of Allah. If you look around on the internet and you read some books on this subject, you'll find that most approaches, they give equal attention to all 99 names of Allah. So if it's a series of talks, they will have 30 minutes for every name of Allah. If it's a book, it'll have 3-4 pages for every name of Allah. However, I will try to do it with a slightly different approach, and I'll explain why. Whenever we try to do something, we should first think, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do this himself? So if we look to the Quran, and we ask the question, how did Allah introduce us to his names? Does Allah use all of his names in equal measure in the Quran? No. The name, for example, Ash-Shakir, the ultimately appreciative, the one who appreciates. This name Ash-Shakir comes in the Quran a few times, a dozen times. But the word As-Sami' and the word Al-Alim comes in the Quran close to 50 times. So you start to realize certain names of Allah have more emphasis in the Quran than others. Allah gives them more time. Allah repeats them more often. He makes indications to those meanings more often. And so we should, those names and those attributes deserve more time with us in our discussion than other names and attributes. That's the approach we're going to take. We're going to emphasize what Allah emphasized. If He repeats an attribute or a name hundreds of times, we're going to take a long time with that name or attribute. And if He mentions a few names in passing, we're going to mention those names with less time given to them. And so we're going to take a thematic approach. And hopefully this means that the lessons won't be 99 in number, but probably between 15 to 25. And we'll take themes of Allah's names in the coming weeks. Today, I wanted to focus on one name of Allah and one name and attribute of Allah that is perhaps the most repeating name and attribute of Allah in the Quran, after his name, Allah. Who can take a guess? Someone said Al-Malik? Al-Alim. Al-Alim. It's not Al-Alim. There's a name that's been repeated in the Quran more than Alim. As-Sami'. As-Sami' usually comes along with Alim. Right? Usually. Yes. Ar-Rahman. Not quite. Not Ar-Rahim. Al-Ghafur, no, not Al-Ghafur. Ar-Rab, what's your name? Ibrahim. Maybe we need to bring chocolates for people like Ibrahim. Inshallah. Ibrahim? Inshallah. If not, we can bring you crisp packet as well. Inshallah. No, we have to be healthy. Sheikh Hassan will not be happy. Inshallah. Apples and bananas. Inshallah. Ar-Rab. From the first page of the Quran to the last page of the Quran, you will be hard-pressed to find a page that does not mention the name Ar-Rab. Many people don't associate it as a name of Allah. We are used to thinking Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman, etc. But Ar-Rab comes in the very first surah of the Quran. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Straight after Allah's name, Rabbil Alamin. What is Ar-Rab? Ar-Rab is usually translated in English as Lord or Master. These are the two translations given to the word Ar-Rab. And we always start with a translation. Because the translation is always a very sorry attempt, a very sad attempt at understanding the true meaning of this word. So let us go and investigate. And before we do, we can tell a small joke about translation. We know that translation can never capture the meanings of a word. Never. The true meaning of a word can never be captured by translation. And so there's a famous saying that there was a poem in Urdu. I don't know how many of those of you who speak Urdu. There is a poem in Urdu that kind of described the falling of a kingdom. There was a big king, he had a big kingdom. And then this whole kingdom destroyed. And so a poet wrote, aise aise kaise kaise ho gaye. Aise waise kaise kaise ho gaye. Now if you know Urdu, this is like a very beautiful rhyming couplet. So this poet, he gave it to someone to translate it to English. So the person wrote, this, that, how become. How, this, that become. This is just a funny example that translation is very difficult. You cannot translate truly. Then there is no such thing as translation. It's a try. You try to interpret the word. So let us dig deep into this name, Ar-Rab. The word Rab comes from the root in the Arabic language, Rabbaha Yarabbuhu. And it means Rabbahu Wasasahu. Rabba Yurabbi Tarbiyatan. You might have heard this word, Tarbiyah, before. To look after something, to grow it until it reaches full maturity. To plant a seed and to keep watering it and giving it everything it needs until it's a full plant, it's a tree. To give birth to a child and to look after all of its needs until it's an adult and then to let it go. This is Rabbaha. To look after the needs, to cultivate, to nurture, to take care of something until it reaches complete independence. It reaches maturity, adulthood, completeness. This is the first meaning of the word Rabb. The one who looks after every need and every aspect of our life until we reach maturity. Well, until we return to him, because he's always looking after us. This is the first meaning of the word Rabb. Now, who is usually given the term Murabbi? Who can tell me? Who is usually given this word, Murabbi? A teacher. Who else? Parents. Now, why is a teacher and a parent given this word, Murabbi, someone who gives tarbiyah? Because a parent, they get the child, they have a child when the child is zero, nothing. Allah says in the Quran, Allahu akhrajakum min butuni ummahatikum la ta'lamuna shay'a. Allah removed you from the wombs of your mothers and you knew nothing. You were useless. You were fully dependent. Babies don't even have neck muscles. You know, they have to be propped up. They are dependent upon their murabbi, their parent, for everything. When a child is in their mother's womb, they are even dependent on their mother for blood circulation. They are connected to their mother via the umbilical cord. They are fully dependent. That is why the parent is a murabbi. And the parent takes this useless, spineless, boneless, muscleless child, this baby, and they nurture and look after their every need until they are an adult. This is so selfless. It's so tough. It's so difficult. It requires so much hard work and so much energy. So you get the honor of the term Murabbi. You looked after this child's every need until they were ready to look after themselves. A teacher gets a child. Now this child, they're not looking after the child physically, but this child knows zero, sirf, nada, zilch, nothing. And they take this child and they teach it. Morsel by morsel, letter by letter, alif to ya, until, very patiently, until this child knows something and they can go and they can use that knowledge. This journey is tough. Teachers in this country are the most overworked and the most underpaid. Parents, we expect our pay to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we do work hard as parents. It's a tough job to be a murabbi because there's no pay. The one you are giving tarbiyah to, the one you are looking after, their every need and their every angle shows no gratitude most of the time. They don't know how much hard work you are doing. How many times? How often it is that we only appreciate our parents when we become parents? I still remember the day I became a father. This was the day I realized the gravity of what my parents did for me more than any other day in my life. Because tarbiyah requires being extremely selfless. And tarbiyah, usually, you get nothing in return. It's a hard job. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the first meaning of Rabb. The one who looks after, the one who nurtures, the one who takes something from zero to 100%. And goes through all the pain and the patience of that journey. The second meaning of the word Rabb is what you all mentioned. The Lord, the Master, the King. In Arabic, in the Arabic language, I mean, the Arabs, they used to call the Master a Rabb. Now if I say Master, that implies something. If I tell you Master, if I tell you Teacher, who's on the other side of the table? Student. If I tell you Chef, who's on the other side of the table? Customer. If I tell you Master, who's on the other side of the table? The slave. And in the Quran, the word Rabb is very often paired with the word Abd. Who can give me one example? The first commandment in the Quran, in order. The first time Allah tells us to do something in the Quran. Surah Al-Baqarah. Not Aqimu Salah. Before that. Huffaz. Ya ayyuhan nasu, ubudu. Ya ayyuhan nasu, ubudu rabbakum. People, make yourselves in service to your master. U'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Make yourselves in service to your master who created you and those before you so that you may become God-fearing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very frequently in the Quran, He combines His name Ar-Rabb with your name Al-Abd. And we're going to come to that and what that means in a moment. So now you know there's two meanings for the word Rabb. And let us look at the first meaning. Al-Murabbi, the one who looks after all the needs, manages everything. A child doesn't have to cook. A child doesn't have to clean. A child doesn't have to clean themselves. Their parents do everything for them. Now in our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our murabbi ultimately. He looks after everything in our life. He manages the laws of physics. Why isn't the ceiling falling on us right now? Why is it being held up? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created rules and laws to govern this universe. He's looking after us. The water cycle, why do we get rain? Who makes the water evaporate, then condense into clouds, then come from the sky in that beautiful manner? Why doesn't the sea just jump on us like a tsunami, like we see in other parts of the world, like it's happening in Pakistan right now? Who makes it happen that way, in that gentle pitter-patter that we hear on the roof? Allah, He looks after us. Who makes us, allows us at night, just when we get tired, He makes the sky go dark so that we can find our eyes can get some rest and our bodies can recover overnight. Who gives us that privilege? Allah. In the Quran, oftentimes when Allah is mentioned as Rabb, He is mentioned as the one who looks after us in so many ways, ways that we don't even realize. Yusuf alayhi salam goes through so many difficulties in his life. From being attacked by his brothers, to the bottom of the well, to the palace of the emperor of Egypt, to the prison and the dungeons of Egypt, to the ministry of Egypt and the throne in front of which his parents are doing sujood. And at this moment in time, his whole life starts to make sense to him. It crystallizes in front of him. All the events suddenly make sense. And when you look back on your life, you will see your life has had so many ups and so many downs. And when you're going through them, they don't seem to make very much sense. But when you look back on them, they start to fall into a certain pattern. Everything begins to make sense. And you realize every up was given to you by your Rabb who looked after you. And every down was given to you by your Rabb because He wanted to look after you. When Yusuf alayhi salam stands there, seeing his dream come true, what does he call Allah? Rabbi ataytani min al-mulki wa 'allamtani min ta'wil al-ahadith. Oh my Rabb, the one who looks after me. You gave me this kingdom and you taught me how to understand dreams. فاطر السماوات والأرض. You originated the heavens and the earth. أنت وليي في الدنيا والآخرة. You are my true helper in this world and the afterlife. توفني مسلما وألحقني بالصالحين. Let me die as a believer and let they come after me, the righteous. He realizes in this moment that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him in the bottom of a dark well with his brothers ready to kill him, Allah was still looking after him. He realizes in this moment that when he suffered for 10 years in the dungeon of Egypt, Allah was actually looking after him. But in that moment, it doesn't make sense. In that moment, you only feel the pain. In that moment, you only feel the suffering. But later on, you realize your Rabb is always looking after you. When the people of the cave, when they end up in the cave with no food, no army, nothing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes sure that the rays of the sun don't touch them, doesn't harm their bodies. Allah turns them over while they are asleep. He makes their dog frozen at the front of the cave. He changes the laws of physics to protect them. Why? How did they address Allah? When they make dua to Allah, when they address Him, what by what name do they call Him? رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Our Master is the Master of the heavens and the earth. لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَٰهًا. We will never call upon a God besides Him. When they call Allah, they know He's going to look after them. That's why they say Rabb. That's what gives them the confidence to stand in front of someone who could kill them any moment, because they know this man thinks he's a Rabb, but above this man is the greatest Rabb. When Fir'aun sits on his throne and he looks at this small man, Musa alayhi salam, and he looks at his vast kingdom of Egypt, how does he call himself? أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I am the greatest master. I am the greatest king. And when Musa alayhi salam comes in front of him and tells him that there is a God, a creator, he asks him the question, فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى. Who is your Rabb? Who is this ultimate being that looks after every element of this universe? Who really is he? And Musa alayhi salam starts with something Allah always associates with his name Rabb in the Quran. قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Musa turns to this man who calls himself a Rabb and he says, the real Rabb, the real master, the ultimate one who looks after every atom in this universe, he created everything from scratch and then he showed it where to go. He guided it. In the Quran, the word Rabb is always, very often, it's linked with guidance. Because what does a teacher do, a murabbi do? They guide. The student comes lost, confused, they have a question. The teacher says, this is where you should look. This is where you should go. A parent, a child comes to them confused, in pain, sorrow, sadness. The parent says, this is how you should go. This is what you should do. They guide. And one of the ideas associated with our Rabb is that He always shows us the way when we are lost. As Musa alayhi salam stands in front of the sea, a massive ocean stretching as far as the eye can see. Behind him, the sound of horses and hooves, the rising of dust, the clashing of swords, as the army of Fir'aun draws near. He is stuck between an army and an ocean. Where is he to go? And to make matters worse, at this moment in time, the people he is with, they lose hope and they quit. قَالُوا إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. They say, we are finished. We are done. There's no way to go from here. It is at this very moment, when you are in the darkest depths, when there is nowhere to turn, there is nowhere to look, you don't know where to go, you feel lost. This moment, The one who shows you the way is Ar-Rabb. What does Musa alayhi salam say to his people? Who can tell me the ayah? Kalla inna ma'iya Rabbi sayahdeen. He says, no way. My Rabb is with me. He always shows me the way. Ar-Rabb is that creator that not only creates challenges in your life, but shows you the way around them. Ar-Rabb is the one whom in your most confused moment you turn to because he makes you know what is the next step that you should take. Ar-Rabb is the one who looks after you even when you think that he has forsaken you. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam doesn't receive Quran for months and he becomes extremely upset and he feels lost, because without the Quran in your life you will feel lost too. And as he feels lost, and as he feels upset, and as he feels those feelings of despair, Allah says to him, your Rabb has not forgotten you, nor has he left you. In every moment in our lives, there are moments in which we feel very alone. As Yusuf alayhi salam felt in the darkness of the well, as Yunus alayhi salam feels in the belly of the whale, in the depth and darkness of the sea. As Musa alayhi salam feels as he exits Egypt and he walks towards Madian, he felt alone. No one was with Musa. No one was with Yunus. No one was with Ayyub. And as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam stands in Taif, bleeding to his slippers, his blood dripping as he walks, his uncle and his wife have died. There's no man sadder than this man. He feels alone. And it is in these moments of loneliness. The word Rabb reminds you that you are never really alone. Which is why when Musa alayhi salam makes that lonely walk out of Egypt to nowhere, he doesn't know his destination. What does he say? رَبِّ نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Oh Allah, my Rabb, the one who looks after me in my moments of loneliness, you are with me at every moment. Show me, protect me from those who are coming after me. When he reaches Madian and he's alone and he knows nobody, no property, no army, nothing, no job, no wife, nothing. He stands there alone. What does he say? رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. My Rabb, I am in need for whatever you give me now. In the moments of loneliness in the Quran, in the moments of despair, in the moments of ineptitude, in the moments of difficulty, the prophets remember their Rabb. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ مَا نُخْفِي وَمَا نُعْلِنُ وَمَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. My Rabb, you know what we show and what we hide. And nothing in this earth or the sky is hidden from Allah. Your Rabb is the companion for you in your times of solitude. The one who is with you in your times of despair. The one who is called upon when you are standing in front of the ocean and called upon when you are in the depths of the whale. In the Quran, The word used to make dua to Allah the most in the Quran is the word Rabb. How many times have we heard the word Rabbana? Who can give me some dua, some supplication to Allah with the word Rabbana? Rabbana atina fid dunya. Who can give me another? Rabbana taqabbal minna. Rabbana hablana. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْ. When Adam alayhi salam comes to this earth, is there any other human on this earth? He is alone. And at this moment, the only human being on the entire earth, how does he call Allah? رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. My master, the one who looks after me, the one who looks after my every need, the one who knows my hidden and my apparent, I have wronged myself. Allahumma in the Quran is used very rarely, 5 times in the Quran. You search the word Rabbana, Rabbi, Rabbi, with a kasra, hundreds of times in the Quran, or over 100 times in the Quran. And this is the name of Allah, the only name of Allah you can attribute to yourself. That's one of the unique things about it. In the Quran, you never see the word Rahmani, my Rahman. You never see the word Ilahi. You never see it in the Quran. You never see Maliki, my king. You don't see it in the Quran. But you see Rabbi, my Rabb. You see Rabbana, our Rabb. Why is that? Because this is the most personal name of Allah. This is the name of Allah that is most close to you. And you can say, it's mine. Because He is your Lord. He is your caretaker. He is your nurturer. He looks after you when others have abandoned you. He is the one who provides for you when there's no one to provide for you. He is yours. And there's something beautiful in that. It's very different. If I talk about a team, two teams are playing football today. But it's very different when I say, my team. Those are my boys. In my jersey, there's an attachment. There's a belonging. There's an intimacy. There's a closeness. And the only name of Allah that the prophets would call out to and they would attribute to themselves His name is Rabb. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. As Ibrahim alayhi salam stands in the middle of an empty desert. And he builds block by block this Kaaba. Not knowing what is going to be the future of this land. What is going to happen to my wife and children? They are so alone. It is at this moment he asks Allah by His name, Ar-Rabb. There's another beautiful thing about the word Rabb, the name Rabb of Allah. So he said, there's two meanings of Rabb. The one who looks after, the one who nurtures, the one who takes something from 0 to 100%. Number one. Number two, the one who is the Lord, the Master, the King. And that makes us the slave. Now there's something important here. People don't like the word slave. This is because of the history of the last 300 to 400 years and the transatlantic slave trade in the USA and other parts of the world. Slavery of the last thousands of years was an ugly mark in the history of humanity. People don't like to think of themselves as a slave. Because a slave is one who is beaten by their master, one who is tied by their master. They don't want to be doing things for their master. Their master is beating them and screaming at them and owning them as property. So when we think of ourselves as slave, that's not a nice thought for many people. They don't like that idea. But al-ubudiyah, what does it mean to be a abd? In Islam, we don't have this negative idea that the Rabb is someone who beats you with a stick, that the Rabb is someone who ties you to a tree, that the Rabb is someone who tortures you. That's not our Rabb. In Arabic, abuda ya'budu is to serve someone out of love for them. That's very different. My parents, they don't have handcuffs to tie me to the house. Why do I do things for them? Why do I feel like massaging my mother's feet? Why do I feel like giving my father some money? Why do I feel like getting them gifts? Why do I feel like doing things for them? They haven't obliged me. They haven't forced me. They haven't tortured me. Why do I feel that way? Who can tell me? Why do we feel this way to our parents? Out of love. Out of gratitude. This is the meaning. This is the secret of the word abd. Because when the Prophet ﷺ stands for the night prayer, and he's praying all night, as the hadith of his wife comes, until his feet become swollen, they bulge out of pain. And Aisha radiallahu anha asks him, O Prophet of Allah, why do you stand? وَقَدْ غُفِرَ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Your previous sins and your future sins are forgiven. You don't have to be here. What does he say? أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. How can I not be a grateful servant? This ubudiyah, this desire to place our heads on the floor, and this desire to be at the service of Allah, and this desire to please Him comes from our gratitude and our love of Him. Not because He's torturing us. Not because He's got a whip in His hand. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Because when people think, Master, this is the image that comes to them. But we have a loving Master. We have a caring master. We have a master that gives us the oxygen that comes out of our lips and the heart that beats the blood through our system. We have a master who never let us alone for a moment in our lives. This is our Rabb. We feel obliged to worship him and to please him because we can't help ourselves. أحسن إلى الناس تستعبد قلوبهم أطالما استعبدتم الناس أحسنوا أو إحسانوا. There's a poet who said a line in Arabic, show people kindness, you will find them wanting to serve you. Because the best way for people to serve you is for you to be kind to them. It is the kindness of Allah that brings in our hearts the meaning of ibadah, the desire to be in service of him, the desire to do as he says, the desire to please, the desire to be loved by him. Not because he's torturing, not because he's a master who is going to punish us. No. Out of a sense of gratitude. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ says this word, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. And this is why the greatest honor Allah gave the Prophet in the Qur'an ﷺ is the moment Allah revealed, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِّنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. Glory be to the one who took his abd, his servant, his slave, from the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say proudly, Inni abdullahi wa rasuluh. I am just Allah's abd and his messenger. Abd is someone who makes themselves in someone else's service because they cannot bear to be otherwise. Ikhtiyaran la ikrahan. Out of choice, not out of force. Doesn't Allah say in the Quran, la ikraha fi ad-deen? There is no force or compulsion in religion. And so that is one important thing, that when we say slave and master, people have a very different image in their mind, a very negative image. But we are not talking slave and master. We are talking about one who cannot help but love and feel so grateful and so indebted to this creator, they want to do everything possible for this creator. This is abd, this is you and this is me. And that's why when Allah tells us to do ibadah, he tells us to be in service of Allah, to please him as his ibad, as his slaves, he always reminds us why. U'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum. Be slaves to Allah because he made you from nothing and those before you. You were zero, you didn't exist, and here you are. Doesn't that require some gratitude? Doesn't that require some appreciation for your oxygen? Someone comes to your house and they buy you a box of chocolates. And you say, why? No formalities. It's your second home. Don't bring the chocolates. Then you take the same box and you gift it to somebody else the next day. This is the chocolate box circulation. You go to somebody's house, you give them the same box. They go to someone's house, they give that box. Well, hashalillah, that box comes back to you one day from someone else. We don't like people to come and give us things, because we feel, why? We did nothing for them, why is he giving? But with Allah, we feel indebted to Allah. He has loaned us things we can never pay for. Allah says in the Quran, مَن يُقَرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا. Who is it that can give Allah a loan? An indefinite loan. Imagine, can we loan something to Allah? Allah calls charity the giving of a loan to Allah, because he's going to return it to us in many multiples. He's going to return our investment to us. And so when you look throughout the Quran, you always see this word Rabb. It's not used as a harsh, torturing master. No, it's used as a guiding, loving master. Allah says in the Quran, ثم اجتباه ربه فتاب عليه وهدى. Then his Rabb selected him and showed him the way. Rabb is not the one that tortures, but the one that shows you when you are lost, that guides you, that directs you, that makes everything make sense for you. And in fact, in the Quran, the intent to destroy or the intention to harm has never, never been linked with the word Rabb. When Allah uses other names of his, like his name Allah. He does say that it is possible for Allah to want something negative or something evil to befall someone, because he has a wisdom behind that. As Allah says, in arada an yuhlika al-masih. He uses his name Allah. Then he says, Allah, if he wanted to destroy the Masih, the Messiah. But the word Rab, Allah never ever links it with the desire or the want to destroy or hurt or harm. Look through the whole Quran, you will see this. When Allah talks about the word Rabb, he says, Rahmatam min Rabbik. It was a mercy from your Rabb. And so, this Rabb that we have, though many people think of it negatively, this master that we have is a benevolent master. In fact, one of the most beautiful ways to remember Allah as Rabb is that the Rabb takes care of everything and you don't even realize. Yusuf alayhi salam is sitting in prison. He does not even realize that his Rabb has already started taking the steps to make him the minister of Egypt. It's beyond his mind. He cannot imagine it. And you're sitting here today and you don't know what your Rabb is planning for you and what beauty is coming your way. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُ مِن قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. No soul knows what is hidden from them that will cool their eyes. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. As a reward for what they used to do. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every morning and every evening, he would make this dua, one of, for me personally, my favorite dua, my favorite supplication. And this supplication reminds us of the meaning of Ar-Rabb. He says, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. O Allah, the ever-living, the one upon whom everything depends. Bi rahmatika astaghith. I seek help and refuge in your mercy. Aslih li sha'ni kulla. Fix all of my affairs. Wala takilni ila nafsi tarfat ayn. And don't leave me to myself. Don't let me look after myself for the blink of an eye. Every morning and every evening he would say these words. Because truly this is what it means to be a Rabb. If you are a Murabbi and you have a child, you don't want to let your child worry about anything for the blink of an eye. Your child comes, cries to you, they're hungry. You want to give them food straight away, anything. Your child comes, they want the latest toy. You want to give them the latest toy because you don't want them to feel upset even for the blink of an eye. Sometimes you watch your child going through difficulty. You watch them climb up and you know they're going to fall, but you know they need to fall so that they learn next time not to climb up again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Rabb, there is not a moment in our lifetime except that He is looking after us. يُدَبِّرُ الْأُمُورِ. He manages all of our affairs. We have the illusion that people manage our affairs. I want an airplane ticket, I call the travel agent. My child needs to go to school, I call the head teacher. I need medicine, I call the pharmacist. We have this illusion that these are the people that look after us. So when they let us down, we are really angry. When the pharmacist one day is too busy for us, the barbers are all closed, or they do a bad job, or we lose our job and our boss doesn't give us our payslip. We are so invested in this idea that people are the ones managing our affairs. People are the ones serving us. We get pulled into this imaginary world where human beings are all powerful, such that when one of them falls, one of them disappoints us, one of them breaks away, we feel brokenhearted. How could it happen? My teacher let me down. My driving instructor didn't show up. Just when you trust them the most, they didn't do good. That chef gave me food poisoning. Right? When in reality, ubudiyya, to be a abd of Allah, really and truly, is that you see all of these people as middlemen. The ultimate one who gives and takes and tests and harms and benefits is the Rabb. He is the true ultimate manager, the ultimate one looking after our affairs, testing us, challenging us, giving us, taking from us, When someone comes to you, your car breaks down in the middle of the motorway, you don't see this as a mistake of your mechanic, you see this as your Rabb has given you this situation. This is what ubudiyya is about. True ubudiyya is to see things as they truly are. To not see the illusion, to not see the picture, the false image that people are the ones managing the world around us, but to see the true reality, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manages everything. The good, the bad, and everything in between. In the Quran, when the prophets speak to Allah, they always, most of the time, if not all the time, they address him with his name, Ar-Rabb. What does Zakariya alayhi salam say? رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ My Rabb, you look after me in every way. Don't leave me alone, and you are the one who gives the best following generations. Rabb. Now there's something interesting in this ayah. Who can tell me? If you want to say my Rabb, how would you say it in Arabic? رَبِّي with a ya at the end, right? رَبِّي. But in this ayah, what does he say? Rabbi. What's the difference? Kasra. What happened to the ya? What happened to the Rabbi? Where's the ya gone? It's gone. It's missing. This is one of the beautiful, subtle things in the Quran. Sometimes you'll find the Prophet saying Rabbi. And sometimes you'll find them saying Rabbi. Why? There's a pattern. There's a reason. Allah doesn't remove a letter or add a letter except he has a reason. Next time you read the Quran, look every time you see Rabb. Is it Rabbi or Rabbi? In moments of desperation, the Prophet say, Rabbi. They are so desperate to call upon Allah, they don't have the time to add the ya at the end and stretch it for two harakas. No time. رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ You have to understand, this is not a man who didn't have a child for 6 months. And then he tried IVF, went to the NHS, went to a private doctor. Then he's saying, come on Allah, what's going on? This is not that kind of a man. This man waited nearly a century. And he reached a level of desperation that he said, Rabbi. And he removed the ya. When you see Rabbi in the Quran without the ya, it's in a moment of desperation, difficulty. Sorry? In that moment. Yeah? It's the heat of the moment. What does Musa alayhi salam say? He reaches Madian. He's got nobody, nowhere to look, nowhere to hide, no job, nothing. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Oh Allah, I am in need, desperate need for anything you give me. Give me anything. I'll be happy. And so when you read the Quran, notice this point about the name Rabb. There is a way to call your Rabb in moments of desperation. 999, SOS. And there's a moment to call Allah when there's no urgency. 111. You'll be there with the questionnaire for a long time. Do you have heat? Do you have a fever? Do you have arm pain? Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. But 999, within 3 seconds you get a yes? What's the problem? Yes? Rabbi without the ya is a 999. Mahdufa al-ya. And Rabbi is a 111. Good analogy. Walillahi al-mathal al-a'la. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can never be compared to an analogy. But what you note is that the prophets were calling their Rabb in their good times and in their bad times. When they were squeezed and when life was easy. And this Allah mentions in the end in Surah Al-Anbiya. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ These prophets were competing in doing good. وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا And they called upon us in fear and in hope. وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ And they were humble in front of me. If you understood what and who is your Rabb, there is never a moment in your life when you would be alone. There would never be a situation in your life when you would feel too squeezed. Because the word Rabbana and Rabbi would be always on your lips. Look at the life of the prophets in the Quran. Every turn and twist in their life, they say the word Rabbana. Rabbi, Rabbi. In constant conversation with Allah. Constantly talking to Allah. Because the health of any relationship is determined by communication. I love my parents. But if I call my father after 5 days and I say, Baba, I was missing you. He says, yes, Habib, you're missing me. Why didn't you call me then? Really, you are missing me? If I go for a trip, I call my wife after 10 days of not speaking to her and say, I was missing you. She says, of course you are missing me. I have zero missed calls from you. Clearly you are missing me. Yeah, the health of every relationship is dependent upon communication. And so if we know our Rabb and we are attached to our Rabb because He Rabbana, Rabbi, my Lord. And He addresses us by saying, Abdi, my slave. It's two ways. And in fact, it is at that moment in time when one really thinks that Allah would abandon us, He says, Abdi. Imagine, when does a parent say to their child, I don't want to ever see your face again. Get out of my house. It takes a lot for a parent to kick their child out of the house. The child has to do something really wrong. Yeah? The child has to make some big crime, fail their GCSEs, marry someone from outside the village, outside the tribe, come home with a revert sister or a revert brother. Finish. The door is not opening. The locks have been changed. Out. When this happens, when the major crimes happen, the parent, we don't even want to look at you, don't want to know you. However, when the abd, the one so indebted to Allah that he needs him and he feels obliged to please him in every moment, you and me, when we commit the major crimes, how does Allah address us in the Quran? قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. My slaves who committed crimes against themselves. My slaves. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Never despair of the mercy of Allah. No matter what major sin we committed, what crime we committed, what wrong we did, Allah says, you're mine. You're not out of the house. Come back. This is the lutf, the mercy, the gentleness, the appreciativeness of our Rabb. And so the action to take away from today is if you knew the meanings of Rabb, the master, the nurturer, the one who looks after your every affair, the one who keeps the door open when you leave, the one who tells you to come back when you've wronged, the one who, when you're not even aware, he's planned everything for you. If you knew that Rabb, then the word Rabbana would be on your lips as often as possible. You would be in constant conversation with your Rabb. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. If there's any questions, I'll happily take them. بارك الله فيكم. Adhan is in 1 minute, 1 and a half minutes. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.